Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is March 1st. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 7, paragraph 1, which begins with my brother-in-law is a physician and ends with I had been seriously ill, both bodily and mentally. Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Joanne D. for the 12 Traditions, Yvonne A. will read our text for us, Chanel P., page 164, and Diane B. is here for backup. Thank you so much. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21183. 21183. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21185. That's 21185. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals whose shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hey, everybody. Here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters, overeaters, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yes.
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Joanne D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting requests that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 7, paragraph 1, and I will ask Yvonne A. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, my fellows. This is Yvonne A. in BC, Canada. My brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness and that of my mother, I was placed in a nationally known hospital for the mental and physical rehabilitation of alcoholics. Under the so-called belladonna treatment, my brain cleared. Hydrotherapy and mild exercise helped much. Best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill, bodily and mentally. And boy, that last sentence of this paragraph for me, I can identify with Bill so much there. I, too, was introduced to Dr. Silkworth through this program. I wasn't familiar with 12 steps before I came into OA. And really, that explanation, in the doctor's opinion, was life-changing for me. And both on the positive and the, oh, there needs to be work done front. I had no idea how selfish and for me, very dishonest I was. I thought I was really honest. That was quite a shock to find out, not so. But it was a relief to find out that, yeah, I have this disease. I have an illness. This is not just a matter of me being weak-willed. It is not just a matter of me being unable to stick to something or having the fortitude to, you know, go through some struggles. This truly, for me, is a disease. It is an obsession of my mind, so I'm mentally just not able. I do not have the tools on my own to overcome that. And so being able to understand that I had been seriously ill allowed me to put an entirely different light on things. And I never expected that when I came into OA. I thought, you know, like every single thing I had tried in the past had been a matter of learning to control my food, eat things in moderation. And here was this other idea of entire abstinence, and that that was going to be my ticket in the door to be able to work a program that had absolutely nothing to do with food. And I just thought that was so strange. But, you know, when you are like me and at the end of your options, you become willing to try anything. And if this was a method that could put this disease into remission, it never goes away. Unfortunately, it's permanent. But I can live in recovery. I can have that disease be in remission if I follow the rules in this book. And so it is that in this paragraph that stands out, you know, most to me. But I also can relate to the kindness in his family. My family wanted the best for me. They wanted me to find a way. They knew my morbid obesity was going to kill me at some point. And I was at a point in my life where blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, all those things, that trifecta. Yeah, thank you, Elaine. I will wrap up with that. So thank you for letting me share, and I look forward to hearing all of you.
Thank you so much. I do too. Okay, that we value everybody's experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 7, paragraph 1, my brother-in-law, it begins with, please star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Anybody else? Plenty of room, plenty of time. Well, why don't you get the ball rolling for us, Bruce?
All right, I'll get the ball rolling here. Excuse me. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm very, very grateful to be on this call and to be on this line. I'm very grateful to be recovered today. It's wonderful. So, well, I didn't know he had a brother-in-law as a physician, but we find that out here. Brother-in-law is a physician. He helps him out. He gets him in a hospital. I think that's Bill's first trip to the hospital. So he makes 3 trips. This is his first one. And I can understand why he starts feeling better, because it says his brain cleared. He's not using alcohol, and he's doing all this therapy, and he's resting up, and he's eating right. You know, he's 40 pounds underweight, so he's taking back some weight. He's feeling better. But the best of all, he meets Dr. Silkworth, which is the major breakthrough for him. And Silkworth just tells him this at this point. I guess maybe that if that's all he learned while he was in there on this trip, that's important enough. But he tells him he's sick. You know, he tells him he's got a mental problem. Let's see what he says here. He's seriously ill. He tells him, even though he's selfish and foolish, he's seriously ill bodily and mentally. Okay, so I still have to remind myself of that I have a disease. It's called compulsive overeating, and I am sick bodily and mentally. I'm a sick person. I'm not like other people. Other people can take one and then quit. For me, one's not enough, a thousand, you know, one's not enough and a thousand's, you know, too many or however that goes. So, you know, I just can't handle just one because the allergies triggered and then the phenomenon of craving and then the obsession and the compulsion. So I am sick. I'm seriously ill. I've got a broken brain and bodily and mentally I'm sick. And that doesn't mean I'm a bad person, you know. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Then I've heard it said it's not a moral issue. I don't exactly understand that, but I guess it isn't a moral issue. So I don't have to have guilt and shame over this thing. It's just that I'm sick, you know, and I've used this drug of food to try to encourage or stimulate the serotonin and the dopamine and all the stuff in my brain to get it going so I can make myself feel better. And the problem is it doesn't work for long. It doesn't work for me anymore. You know, it just doesn't work. Drugs don't work either. So, and certainly liquid sugar alcohol wouldn't work. So I've tried to use food. It doesn't work. I'm sick. What works is, Oh, thank you. What works is the program and the literature and going on these meetings, having a sponsor, and working steps. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce Lee. Who else would like to comment on page 7, paragraph 1? Star 1 to unmute. We'd love to hear from you. Patty D. Patty D.
Vicky T.
Vicky T. Who else? Star one to unmute.
Dion R.
Dion R.
Lorraine W.
Lorraine W. Anybody else? Okay, here's who we've got. Patty D, Vicky T, Dion R, Lorraine W. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, kick us off, Patty D, please.
Hi, thank you. This is Patty D, compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Coming back to OA after quite a bit of time away. I think what means a lot to me in this paragraph is, and what's been reiterated, is that Dr. Silkworth told Bill, you know, you're sick. And I remember one of my first sponsors saying that to me is, you know, it's not a question of you not having enough willpower. You do realize that this is an illness. And that, like, was such an eye-opener to me. And even as a nurse, I didn't get that. And I had felt such overwhelming guilt that I couldn't get a hold of this. And I had always been able to lose weight when I was younger, but now I was in and had been through menopause, and now I figured, oh, I'm not exercising enough. I can't do this. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I can't. I'm eating so much junk. Why can't I stop? And here it's like all along I've been a compulsive overeater, and I just been managing it. Ha. And now I couldn't manage it anymore. And I was finally ready to face the truth that I was out of control. I didn't have this control. I never had the control. But that was really something that, that truth really helped set me free. And I'll just share this one thing. The other day I said to my husband, you know, the scale's going in the closet. And he's like, why? Why? And I said, because I can't resist weighing myself a lot. And I have to stop doing that. I can only do it once a week. He said, well, just resist the temptation. I said, I can't. And he doesn't understand that. You all do. I know all of you listening do. But normal people don't. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty D. Vicky T., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dion R.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, everybody on the line. I'm grateful to be here. Yeah, I really relate to this paragraph about being with a physician. And I've never been in a hospital per se, but I've been to a lot of doctors in my past, had the means to go to like famous doctors and things like that when I was young, and my parents just like schlepped me everywhere and, you know, would go to these eating disorder places and doctors and those, you know, the kind of people that would say, oh, you know, you're depriving yourself. You need to be able to have like one, you know, one cookie and stop, you know, that kind of mentality, you know how well that worked. And just the mental anguish and the depression and the anxiety that came along the disease with, you know, for me. And then later on learning that I was really selfish. You know, I never really realized that. It was just all about me. What do you think about me? That was basically how I lived my life. And now Bill is starting to see that, you know, just a foreshadow to the next paragraph. Ah, I've got to figure it out. It's self-knowledge. I totally understand what's going on. Now that I understand it, I can fix it. You know, just like the last, you know, someone that just shared, you know, just have the, you know, resist the temptation. What's the big deal? You know, just not happening. I learned that I have an obsession of the mind and an allergy of the body. And that's not what they talk about in eating disorder treatment. It's a complete different animal. And I'm so grateful that I found this way of life. And it took me 34 years to actually find the spiritual part of the program, which is the program for me. It's everything. And it's just a life changer. I mean, I could be on all the medication in the world, and there's nothing for me like the relationship with God. That hour in the morning is something that is just completely indescribable. And over a period of time, it just takes a hold. It's like the disease, but the opposite. It just takes a hold, and I've become different. Not perfect, but definitely different. And there's so much more time, hopefully, that I have to continue to grow spiritually. And that's my goal today, not to be the thinnest, the prettiest, and the most popular, which would be nice, but to be the most spiritual. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicky T. Dion R., please share with us. You'll be followed by Lorene W. Star one to unmute, Deanna.
Hello? Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
Hi. Yeah.
Oh, good, good. Hi, this is Deanna from Ohio. Let me know if you can't hear me. Hopefully the sound effect is better today than it was the other day when I was trying to share. So, my brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness, I just think about all the people that were kind to me along the way, that were kind but wasn't kind. Even my blessed, and I love my grandmother, she's unconditional love. She said, you just got to push away from the table. I felt such a loser that I couldn't, and all the rest of her grandchildren could. So, but they didn't know. They didn't know what they didn't know, and they did what they could. They would cut my little portions where everybody else was trying to get their own. So I get it. They tried to do it. And I look at you, it says, the belladonna. He said the so-called belladonna treatment cleared his brain, you know, but that was like the hydrotherapy, if I'm not mistaken, was like where they hold them down, water them down and give them some out, then work it out a little bit, you know. So all the things people, the forerunners, had to go through to for us to have it, a simple program just laid out, to work simple steps and have simple solutions, which is most of mine is when I give them to God, you know, and because that's what I got. Dr. Silkworth plus was like science plus the experiences of others, and then the gift of a higher power gave us the program of Overeaters Anonymous, where we know it is something. It is physically something. It's biologically something. We're different. Not wrong. It's different. And like the dandelion, it's just different, you know. And I love that. That's what I got from Overeaters Anonymous, is that it's different. It's okay. Because if everybody was like me, I was like, if the whole world was just like me, thought like me, walk like me, oh wait. That's what helps me to enjoy the beauty that my higher power has given me through this program, which I could not even relate to the spiritual part. So I thank God, the open minded, the forerunners, the trailblazers that did a lot of experimental treatments, so we can have this beautiful program to share with each other and pass on to the next generation, hopefully. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Deanna. Lorene W. is up next, and after that, we'll take another lineup on page 7, paragraph 1. It begins with, my brother-in-law is a physician, and it ends with, I've been seriously ill, both bodily and mentally. Please share with us, Lorene W.
This is Lorene W., and I'm from Massachusetts. This paragraph is me all over, because I never went in the hospital. However, many, many diets and gained them all back. And I love the statement, my brain cleared. When I came into OA 32 years ago, I had such a despairingly mind, of which I was constantly thinking, and mostly about food, and I didn't have a clarity of mind. And once I got into program, that's where it cleared. I didn't realize it at first. It was gradual. And do I have an illness of bodily and mentally? Well, yes, as it told so well in the doctor's opinion. I did. I dieted up to 300 pounds. And only in this program have I received relief from that. relief from God has helped me, and program has helped me through the steps to have that clarity of mind, to be able to lose over 120 pounds, to be able to be in the position I am today. I am much healthier. I am doing what I need to do, and I need to pay attention to what God's will is for me, to reach out to others, to help others, whatever way I can, whatever I can do to help other people in my situation, and to realize that this is the only thing I can do to help myself. And you have been wonderful. You have just been wonderful. And through Bill's story, it really is such a God-giving gift that I have this today. I have some recovery today, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lorene W. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask you to limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 7, paragraph 1, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know you'd like to.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Kevin N.
Kevin N. Anyone else? Star 1 to unmute.
Stephanie S.
Stephanie S. Room for a few more.
Anne A.
Anne A. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay. We've got Deb E., Kevin N., Stephanie S., and Anne A. Please share with us, Deb.
Okay. This is Deb E. Yeah, this is Deb E. in Montana. Good morning, my fellows, and I am a grateful compulsive overeater. I've been in other 12-step study groups, and, you know, what's interesting is the last one I was in, we didn't read Bill's story. It wasn't regarded as one of the steps because they focused on the steps rather than this. And so for me, as I was carrying buckets of water out to the ducks this morning in the snow, which is what I was doing, starting to listen to the reading, I heard this last sentence, and it struck me to my soul. Best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that though certainly foolish, selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill bodily and mentally. And, you know, it takes what it takes to hear the message of this book. But I think the two messages here are, first of all, Bill gets it, best of all. And I think that's a sign that he's getting the message. And then the next part is the kind doctor. We've all had doctors who were not so kind in one way or another, and that's part of the world. But this one did not just tell him. He explained it, saying, and he took in the whole thing. It's almost as if this is the beginning of a process where we carry the message to our fellows as we recover in this disease, explaining that though selfish and foolish, and it's like, yeah, I can, but you know, you can hold those two things together. You may have had a part of it, but underneath it, you, my friend, have been seriously ill. And here's the key that never came together and before this time, that it's both of the body and of the mind. And so that sentence for me stands out as the guide for an entry point to true recovery, realizing that underneath it all, I have a disease. And without treatment, I do like the fact that it also talks about with the treatment, his brain cleared. I really feel like for me, that's been the key. When I am following the things that I need to do in this program, my mind clears. And that, to me, is what recovery is. My mind clears, and I have peace, and the food is not yelling at me anymore or calling to me or giving me little side comments. So I'm grateful to read this sentence. I'm grateful that it's there. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Deb E. Kevin N., you're up next, followed by Stephanie S.
Thanks for that. This is Kevin N. out in Washington State, gratefully recovering compulsive overeater. Glad to be on the line this morning. Glad to be with you guys. And actually really glad for this passage in Bill's story, which kind of aligns with where I'm at right now. We see, you know, for the first time in a long time, back towards sanity. There's a little bit of a return to equilibrium and a remembrance of what it can be like to be wholly in yourself and not driven by fear and not driven by the compulsion. If I can, I just want to share, I had a little scale victory this morning. And over the last month, I was able to let go of 5 pounds, which feels miraculous because I didn't restrict myself. I didn't exercise myself into the ground. I stuck to this program and I stuck to the directions of my higher power. And slowly but surely, here I am making my way back to some kind of equilibrium. It's not the most earth-shattering weight loss I've ever had, but it also feels like it's the sort of thing that I can sustain because it didn't come from this, you know, crazy, unrepeatable effort. It came from this new rhythm of giving my will over, of giving myself to my efforts to my program, giving myself over to my higher power, and communing here with my fellows on this call. So really grateful to be here. Love you all. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kevin. That's awesome. All right. Stephanie S., you're up next, followed by Anna A.
Hi, my name is Stephanie S. from Washington State. I'm recovered and in very, very interesting revelation when I'm reading this past this paragraph here. I recall last May, I think it was last May 2023, a fellow said to me, I was complaining about my obsession of the mind, my mental twist. And she said, of course, that's the disease. And for some reason, I stopped in my tracks. I thought, a disease? What are you talking about? I mean, I am in my late 50s, and my whole life I've thought this is all about me being selfish. It's all about me, like you said, like, you know, it's my problem. Like, I've been doing it wrong. And so I didn't have a doctor tell me that I have a disease. I had a fellow tell me I have a disease, and I was cleared to the point where I could finally grasp the concept of how sick I am and how I'm seriously ill, right? Bodily and mentally. So for that reason, I am grateful for this program, and I'm grateful for all of you, and I appreciate you, and thank you all for your service. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie F. Okay, Anna A. is up next, and after Anna, we're going to take another lineup of people who are commenting on page 7, paragraph 1, which begins with, my brother-in-law is a physician, and ends with, I've been seriously ill, both bodily and mentally. Please share with us, Anna A.
Thank you so much, dear moderator. My name is Anna A. I'm in New York, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. You know, I just felt compelled because I, you know, this book was first published in 1939, and it wasn't until 2020, at the age of 65, that I heard I had a physical allergy. Hey, I knew about that mental obsession. I knew about it very well, starting at age 14, though my selfishness I can document at age 5. And what I'm grateful also is hearing this story by Bill, in Bill's own words, that this kind doctor, you know, related about addiction, what addiction really is. And though Bill tells us at first, you know, he shared about his selfishness, I think Dr. Silkworth gave him the facts first, right? Because Bill was really a man of knowledge, right? Like we all are, like I was. You know, my self-knowledge is going to fix this. I'm going to do it this time. And that he really begins to crack open. His eyes are opening. His mind is opening. His heart will open to the truth that, yeah, the selfishness and myself. You know, I got to do step 10 almost every day, and it's selfishness. And, you know, I'm grateful because that selfishness helped me to remind me of my mission to help others and to be an instrument. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so very much, Anna A. Okay. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so others might be able to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in 3 days and you would like to comment on this text, please star one to unmute. Give me your name.
Jan L., Florida.
Jan L. Who else? Star one to unmute. Who else would like to comment on page 7 today? Okay, GNL, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks all who are doing service on Vision. This is GNL from Florida. So I never went to treatment. I never had a doctor explain to me the problem. But I can so relate to Bill now, thank goodness. So after decades in the problem, thinking it was the food most of the time, I began to listen to Vision more. I didn't do what I was told completely. I didn't get a sponsor from Vision, but I did begin to listen to it. And I did have a big book sponsor. And I began to hear the message that I was bodily and mentally ill. I did get on a plan that pretty much cleared me of my mind, the way this says, my brain cleared. I was well aware of what I used to call the detox process. I would detox myself over and over and over. I knew how long it took. I knew what it would feel like. I knew when I would feel better, blah, blah, blah. But I never could maintain that. And then I started to listen to Vision, and I got on a plan that cleared my brain. However, it was lacking at parts. I was still overeating non-alcoholic foods. Anyway, I did clear up, and I did have some neutrality. I continued to listen. I continued to work the steps my way, not completely, but much better according to the big book. And I began to see my selfish and foolish ways, as he describes. You know, I really began to see myself in those 4 steps I did back then. And I began to see how seriously ill I was, not only bodily. It was no longer a food problem. There was clearly, I could see, a mental problem. I began to understand the twist or the obsession. So you know, Bill relapses after this, and so did I. But I want to say that my doctor really was Vision. It was big book recovery. It was the stories. It was the special editions. They drew me in, finally. I had heard of them before, but I feared I couldn't do it. I just wasn't ready to let go of the food enough. So that was my doctor, was this line. And I'm so grateful. Now, it's been a slow process, and I know I'm sponsoring now, I'm recovered. And there's so much more to learn. I'm constantly learning. I'm recovered in action. That's what I am. It's all dependent upon my action.
Thanks for reminder.
So I just want to thank this line, everyone who did the service, and blessings to all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jan L. Okay, we have time for a few more shares on page 7, paragraph 1. Who would like to comment?
Sherry Z in Southern California.
Sherry Z. Anyone else?
Jennifer
Robin A.
I heard Robin
Debbie
A.
B.
Debbie B.
In Los Angeles.
Jennifer
okay,
L.
Jennifer L. Okay, we better stop there. I'm not sure if we'll have room for all of you, but we'll do our best. Okay, Sherry Z, you please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Robin A.
Good morning, visionaries. Thank you all for your service. I'm so grateful to be a member of A Vision for You, and I'm recovered today in Southern California. You know, I read this paragraph, and it reminded of 30-plus years that people told me abstinence is the solution. No matter what, don't eat. Just, you know, put down the food. And I felt like such a failure because I couldn't do it. And I would put it down and then take it back and put it down and take it back. And the reason was, is that I had a disease. And I knew at the time, and I've shared this with my sponsor, like, it didn't make sense to me. If it was just about don't eat no matter what, then I would be a normal person because that's what my husband and my children do. They just, when they're done, they don't eat. But I knew that there was some mental part of this. And when I finally got into these rooms, into A Vision for You and recovered, I saw that the mental twist was even more powerful than the food. It was, you're a piece of junk. You don't deserve anything. And it got really loud after I put down the food, almost to let me know, you have a disease. You are bodily different than other people. And I truly believe, and I'm not a doctor, that one day they will say, like, this is, we can see in science that this is a disease. And the amount of relief that came to me knowing that it's physical and mental, it's mental, so that abstinence is not my solution. God is my solution. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. God is my solution because the food can never be my solution. So I'm really grateful to be here today. So grateful to all of you and for your shares, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry Z. Robin A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Debbie B.
Hi, good morning. This is Robin A. I am seeking recovery in this program. I have 14 days abstinent, and just listening to a lot of podcasts from the website, and really just, as Harlan would say, driving the big book into me. Just I'm like, will come up for air, like I feel like I'm swimming, just swimming in, trying to just soak my brain with this knowledge and insight and spirituality, and then coming up for air and then going back in so that I can just like not even allow that first thought to come in, and just trying to get through the steps, the beginning, so that I could have that spiritual experience and have a spiritual awakening, and then continue this. But there is a shift. It's like whenever I would go to meetings, I would get so frustrated because people would always talk about that what it was like. And I was like, why are they not talking about what it's like today and the problems and struggles they're going through? And I realized because there is that space in between what it was like then and now, and that it is a new experience. And I've been listening to a lot of Bill's story, reading it and going over it, and with my sponsor, and just the miracle that this person got to have that is helping millions of people. You know, I'm like, I'm in such gratitude, and all I can think of right now is how I want to hit my knees because I haven't done that yet, and I have not had that kind of humility in a while, you know, to just ask something greater than me to come in and kind of take up that space so that I don't, you know, that I can respond in a different way so that I don't have to blot that out with, you know, food. And I do feel like I'm, you know, have no skin sometimes, but I'm working also in clearing these resentments out that pop up so that, you know, that I can just live in reality the way things are and not have to try and eat over and soothe myself because I'm so frustrated because I want it to be different and change. And just, you know, hearing about Bill's experience and hearing that shift that's occurring, it's exactly where I am right now, you know, just so close to that last binge and, you know, wanting recovery, wanting something to be different. So I'm just glad to be here and hear how you all do it. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Robin A. Debbie B., you will be our last share for today. Please share with us. Sorry about that, Jennifer. Hope we can hear you another time. Please share with us, Debbie.
Thank
and you. Have
you.
A
Good
two
morning.
Minute, 2 minute share, okay? Thank you.
Okay. 1 minute, too. Debbie B., compulsive overeater outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. So grateful to be here this morning. I was not going to share, and then as I'm just looking at this paragraph, a memory came to me that I love that we're talking about a nationally known hospital, and I was paying good money to see a therapist who specialized in eating disorders, and my insurance wouldn't cover it, so I was paying for it. And I remember doing everything, I think I did everything she asked me to do, probably if I went back in time and saw myself at that time, I probably wasn't, but I remember sitting in front of her week after week telling her, it's not working, I can't stop eating. And I'll never forget the day that she looked at me and she just said, I don't know what else to do for you. Maybe you were meant to swim in deep waters. And I don't know what that meant, but I was so discouraged. I thought, well, she's got the degree, she's got the knowledge, she's got the experience. If she can't help me, who can? And at the end of the paragraph, it says, the doctor explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been ill bodily and mentally. And if you would have told me back then, well, a big part of your problem is that you're selfish and foolish. Yes, you have a disease, which I would have also been shocked at. Yes, you have a disease, but you're also selfish and in a lot of ways foolish. I don't know that I would have accepted it, except for the fact that, well, no, I don't think I would have. I was not desperate enough to hear that. And thank heavens I did get to the place where I was desperate enough to actually hear that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. Really appreciate that, Debbie B. Okay. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We'll keep you until then.
I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize someone's unmuted. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Someone is unmuted. Could you check and see if you're unmuted? Thanks. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past.
I'm sorry, Chanel, you were accidentally muted. Clear away the wreckage of your past. And will you pick up from there, please? Star one to unmute. Chanel T, pick up with...
Okay.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Where are we? Are we at abandon yourselves or we shall be with you?
That's perfect. Abandon yourself.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that, you guys. I don't know what happened. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.